There's no outline on the back of your bulletin because there was no outline when Carol printed the bulletin. So there wasn't an outline until sometime late yesterday afternoon. And sometimes it just works that way. I don't have necessarily a set schedule, but sometimes it just works out that way. I heard an old preacher one time say, "Nothing inspires me to study for Sunday morning like the sun going down on Saturday night." Not quite that bad, but I was all week long, every morning at breakfast, the pastor would ask me, say, "What you preaching on Sunday?" I said, "I don't know." And Friday he asked me that, Friday morning. He said, "What you preaching on Sunday?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "I'd be scared to death." I don't know. Just after this long, it doesn't worry me too much. I figure God knows somebody's got to preach something. So, and in hindsight, I kind of it took several things from the week and yesterday to kind of bring it all into, I guess the reason there's no outline on the bulletin is there was no outline, and the reason there was no outline is there really wasn't a sermon until yesterday afternoon. It kind of took the whole week's events to kind of come together and bring me to a thought and to a passage of scripture that I felt was appropriate, felt like was where God wanted us to be this morning. And so some things cook faster than others. And so this is a sermon that had to be cooked in the crock pot. Some get cooked in the pressure cooker. This is one that had been in the crock pot all week long, kind of simmering along and just kind of finally came together. And so if you'll open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and just to kind of tell you a little bit about where all this did come from and how this all has, how now I kind of do see how this all played out. I guess you'd have had to have possibly been asleep or lived in a hole this week not to have constantly been bombarded about the news of Whitney Houston's death. And the thing that I kept hearing apart from her music and her singing, I just kept hearing them say, "And she was only 48. And she was only 48. And they just kept saying that over and over and over. And some of you are probably saying, when you kept hearing that, going, "Well, I'm way past 48. I kept thinking, hey, I'll be there in September. Debbie's already passed it. Debbie and I have the same birthday, and she keeps telling me I'm getting old until I'll never catch you. I just kept hearing them say that. She's only 48. And they were talking about the awards she had won and the records she had set. And they just kept on and on about that. And it kind of reminded me in a lot of ways, none of us that I know of are that kind of star. None of us have that kind of talent. That fame, that fortune. But in many ways, we kind of seem to demonstrate some of the same actions, the same kind of thought processes as many of those who were reporting did, possibly Miss Houston did. I didn't know her. But we have kind of a similar method among us, and that is the old saying that we get the cart before the horse. And so often that's what happens to us, is we begin to think about tomorrow or next week or the next month or next year before we've even taken care of today. We've already thought about what we're going to do at work tomorrow. We've already thought about vacation this summer. We've already thought about retirement in so many years. We've already thought about retirement home. We've made all these plans for the future. And there's nothing wrong with that, I think. In fact, the Bible teaches you'd be foolish not to. You've got to make some plans for the future. You've got to think about retirement. You've got to think about and get some things organized for the what-ifs of life. But to plan for tomorrow, to think about next week, to think about next month and forget, "I've got to get through today first," is foolish. And that's the only word for it. That's the word that Christ uses in this parable, that someone who is thinking about tomorrow and the next day and the next day and forgets to take care of today. Christ calls this young man a fool. But that tends to be our method. We are so caught up, we are so thought up about what's going to take place tomorrow, what we're going to do next week, and how those things are going to play out, that we often forget about today. We often forget that today could be our last day. And we've got, again, phrases like stop and smell the roses. You know, we know those things are there. We know our life is short. We realize and we're reminded all too often, whether it be a star's passing or whether it be a loved one, we're all reminded all too often that that life is short, that life is fragile. And for a day or two, we kind of act that way. For a day or two, we begin to think about, well, I need to get this in order. I need to do this. I need to do that. And then the feeling kind of passes, and we go right back to life. And what happens there, I think we see it in this parable that Jesus shares. There are three things that this young man in this parable demonstrate that I think end up being problems for us as well. It's really interesting if you back up and read the passage leading in to these verses. There are some men who came to Jesus, and they're arguing about an inheritance they haven't even received, actually. And they're saying, tell him to divide the inheritance with me. And they haven't even gotten the inheritance yet, but they're already arguing about it. We see enough arguing over wills in their time, but these men were arguing before the will is even needed, before the inheritance is even there. And from there, Jesus leads into this story of this young man. And we all know the story of the young man. The Bible tells us that he is a good man, apparently, and everything that every indicator in the story is that he is a good man, that he is a smart man, a good businessman, a good farmer. The Bible says that he already has been successful because he has barns and therefore he already has farms and they are producing. In fact, they are producing to the point where he says, they have produced so much, I'm going to tear down my existing barns and I'm going to build even bigger barns to hold all the stuff that I'm going to have. And he says, I'm going to, so he's already been successful and he's even more successful now. And he says, I'm going to build bigger barns. And he says, I'm going to have enough stuff to do me for years, to make me comfortable, to make me happy. And he says, there's that phrase that we use so often. He says, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus responds, the Lord responds to him and says, thou fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. Now, somebody's going to enjoy your garden. Somebody is going to enjoy your buildings. But, son, it's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. And in that, there are three things that I think that are important that we see. And the primary application of this passage when we read it, I believe, is to someone who doesn't know Christ, who has never accepted Christ into their heart. This passage reminds us of three things that can cause us to ignore Christ and to ultimately lose our soul. But I believe there's also that as Christians, we can't ignore it. We can't set aside and say, well, this doesn't apply to me, because I believe these same three things can cause us to neglect our relationship with Christ, can cause us to put it on the back burner and not to make it our primary emphasis in our life. And so this morning I want us to look at these this story and learn from it these three things that this man does wrong, that he has a very bad plan here in place. First thing that happens is when you look at this young man, you see that he's got a poor purpose. He has a poor purpose in his life. Look what he says. He says in this passage, he says, you know what? He says, I am going to get more land. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to grow more crops. I'm going to put them all up. I'm going to expand my holdings. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, what this man reveals to us is that his whole purpose in life, his plan on life, is the acquisition of more stuff. That's his goal in life. That's all he can think about. He says, you know what? I'm going to plant more. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to store up more stuff. And I'm going to be comfortable and happy for years to come. That's my purpose for living. That's what I hope to obtain. His whole focus, really, when you look at it, are on the comforts of life. Now, when you read this story, Jesus gives us no indication. In fact, quite the opposite, I believe. He indicates that this is a good man. That he's not, he hasn't come by his things dishonestly. He hasn't, you know, he appears to be a good provider for his family, obviously. He's got so much stuff, he's having to build bigger barns. He's obviously a wise man, a smart man. He's been successful. Every indication from this passage is honestly, this is the kind of young man you'd like for your daughter to date. I mean, he just seems to be, you know, just a fine young man. There doesn't seem to be any indication that this man is anything other than just top-notch, first-class, but he has one glaring problem. And honestly, in our world today, some wouldn't even consider that a problem. His sole purpose, his reason for being, the thing that drove him was more stuff. Was gaining more money, building bigger barns, having bigger crops, was obtaining more. He says, that land brought forth plenty. And he says, he thought to himself, what am I going to do? I don't have anywhere to store up my fruits. He said, this is what I'll do. I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build even bigger barns. And there I'm going to put the rest of my fruits and the rest of my goods. Now, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say this, but I've got to assume that this appears to be a pretty smart man, a smart businessman, that if he had a barn here that was let's say, a 10 by 10, you know, and he had more stuff than the 10 by 10 would hold. He didn't go out there and say, you know what, I need a 15 by 15 to hold what I've got. You've got to believe that this man's a smart businessman, and he says, you know what, I've got a 10 by 10, and it's got more than I can put in it. The 15 by 15 would hold what I got. But I tell you what, I'm planning on having more fruits and more goods, so I'm going to build a 20 by 20. I'm not only going to plan on building something to hold what I've got, I'm planning on getting some more stuff, and I need somewhere. And I don't want to be put in this situation again where I don't have a place to put my stuff. And so this man is focused, his purpose in life, everything he does is about obtaining more fruit, more goods, more stuff, more money. That's what drives this young man. And as he goes about his life, he's not thinking about God. You know, he's not considering God. It's interesting, if you read this parable, the first mention of God, the first mention of anything spiritual is when you get down to the end of the story and God speaks up and says, thou fool, this night your life or your soul will be required of you. He doesn't consider God at all. In fact, if you read this and you count them, you'll find out that he uses the word I 6 times and he uses the word my 5 times. You know, that's this man's purpose. That, you know, it's all about me. You know, he would have made a fine, fine American. You know, it's all about me. It's all about what I can obtain. It's all about what I can gather. And I want to say to you this morning, there are a lot of Christians who are damaging their relationship with God, who are not enjoying the joy of salvation, who are not enjoying the fruit of salvation, they're not enjoying what God would intend them to do because they're more focused on the stuff of life than they are the God of heaven. They're more focused on getting ahead. They're more focused on the next dollar. They're more focused on the next promotion. You know, we look around, and everybody here, if you're honest, you say, I see that every day. Problem is, most of us will say, I see that in my neighbor. We never acknowledge we see that in the mirror. That we're so much like this young man. Listen, our purpose in life, we were created for the sole purpose of glorifying God. You know, there's nothing wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to get rid of all your riches, to get rid of all your stuff, and to go to the mission field. That's not my job. You know, if God calls you to do that, take off. That's not my, you know, that's not my place to put you there. I will tell you just the opposite. I hope all of you this week, some way, somehow, earn $1 million. I hope you get everything you've dreamed up. I hope you get lots of money. I hope you get all the stuff you want. But here's what I also hope with that is you don't forget that if God blesses you with those things, He blessed you with those things so that you could glorify and honor Him. See, this young man just wanted to be a bigger barns. Yeah, I can see him now out there, and I don't know what his name was. I won't call him Joe. Let me look around. I don't have a Joe here. Yeah, I'm going to call him Joe. And I can see him now building his big barn and putting a sign out front that said, Joe's Bigger Barn. You know, I can see them inviting the neighbors over. Come see my new barn. I worked hard for this. Listen, all you have to do is read this story, and you don't have any problem believing that this young man started any sentence with the word I built a bigger barn. Come see my bigger barn. Come see all the stuff I've got in my barn. Come see all the stuff I grew and I put in my barn. You know, I have no problem believing that about this man, because that was his purpose in life. His whole purpose revealed to us in this simple statement is that his job in life was to acquire and obtain more things so that he could rest and enjoy the and listen, I hope you're comfortable. You know, not too comfortable, not right here. I hope you're comfortable. I hope you have all you need. But here's what you got to understand. It's really easy to lose your soul in this quest, in the search for money and riches. It's really easy to damage your relationship, to fall out of the will of God as you search for fame, for fortune, for riches. I don't want to throw them under the bus because I don't know them. But I look and I see so many I see so many of our stars, our celebrities, who will tell of having a Christian upbringing, who will tell of having a Christian home, Christian parents, being brought up in church, and yet when they get fame and they get fortune, that fame and that fortune leads them to a life of drugs and abuse, sexual immorality, you name it, they seem to get into it. It's real easy that fame and fortune will lead you, and I'm not talking about millions. You don't have to be, you know, Elvis Presley. You don't have to have billions and gillions and zillions. You know, when we were little, gadzillions, I remember that word, gadzillions. You know, that was the biggest word for money we knew back then, gadzillions. You know, and you know, it doesn't take much. Just the search, just the quest will cause us. And this young man, his purpose, and your purpose may be something other than fame, fortune, money. Your purpose may be to be, listen, the best father. Nothing wrong with that purpose. Your purpose may, everything you do may revolve around being the best husband, the best wife, the best mother, the best father. Nothing wrong with those goals. But what I'm telling you this morning is, the Bible is very clear that our purpose for being here is to bring honor and glory to God. If you're going to be the best father, great. But in being that best father, you bring honor to God. It's not just about being a good father. It's good businessman, great, but is your business bringing honor to God? This man, it was all about bigger barns. Here's what I look at about this man. Something interesting. We look at this man, and many in America would read this story, and they would look at him and say, that's a good man. I said, most of us would want our daughters to date this fella. He would be considered, a catch. You know, here he is, he's rich, he's got barns, he's prospering. Yeah, seems to have everything going for him, and yet you get to the end of the story, and do you know what God says about him? He says, thou fool. Thou fool. You can live your life, you can obtain a lot of things, you can be a lot of things, you can gain a lot of things, and yet when it's all said and done, God says, you wasted it on foolish things. This man had a poor purpose in his life. His purpose was plain and simple. I'm going to get whatever I can. I'm going to gather it. I'm going to store it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Nothing wrong with that philosophy. I hope you have plenty to eat and looking around, no problem. Yeah, I hope you have a good life. I hope you've got a big bank account. But here's the thing I'm warning you of, is never forget that's not all there is to life. We see that too often in celebrities. But let's not fool ourselves and think it's only celebrities. They just happen to be the ones on television. He had a poor purpose. But he had a poor position. Look what else we see about him in this passage. It says there, he says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Like I said, six times in this parable, in just a couple of verses, this young man says, I. Five times he says, my. Zero times he says, God. Zero times he says church. Zero times he says Father. Zero times he says anything other than I am I. This man, he has a poor purpose in life. That poor purpose is coming out of and feeding a poor position in life. And that is, he's all about me. It's all about pride. It's all about, look at what I have done. Look at what I have accomplished. Look at my possessions. This young man is filled with pride and self-reliance. Look what he says. He says here, I have much good laid up for many years. I don't know this man. In fact, I would submit to you, the Bible says this story is a parable, that this man never even existed. It's just a story that Christ used to prove a point. Here's what I do know. That if this man was real, there's a really good chance that the stuff he had laid up, thinking would last him for many years, wouldn't. Any of you ever thought you had your freezer full and the power went out? You thought, man, I'm good. I got enough beef, pig, other sorts in this freezer. I will be good for a long time. One day you go, what's that smell? You get to looking around, you trace it out to your basement or your garage, and you find out you better have a barbecue quick, and you might just want to go ahead and get the garbage can. Yeah, how many of you ever went freezer still working and ended up freezer burned? Yeah, you get it out and you think it's good and you open it up and it's got bugs in it. Yeah, listen, I know y'all got all nice clean house, but listen, that's just reality. Stuff goes bad. You know, you think it's good. Yeah, you think, oh, I got all this put up and you turned it upside down and it went out of date 4 years ago. You know, and you stand there and look at it, you pull the lid off and go, I wonder if it's still good or not. Taste this, Archie. You know. Listen, I know this about this young man. It's possible that this young man, that all his things that he had laid up, lasted him for many years. But I also know there's a really good chance it didn't. Because this is what I've learned. My best plans generally don't work. Yeah. You make all these plans, you think all that is going to play out, and yet something steps in. In this man's case, you know what happened? Bible says he laid it up, doesn't say it went bad, it doesn't say it didn't feed somebody for a lot of years. What it does say is it didn't feed him. Because that very night, the Bible says, his soul was required of him. His position was this. He says, I'm proud, I've laid all this up, and I am going to enjoy it. This is mine. And I've worked hard and I'm going to enjoy it. I find it very interesting that when you read this, he doesn't say, you know what? I think I'll throw a party. I'll invite my friends over. He doesn't mention giving any of it to the church. He doesn't mention giving any of it to the poor. He doesn't mention giving any of it to the needy. He doesn't mention, you know, if he's got enough crops that he needs to build bigger buildings, there's bound to be some servants involved. He doesn't mention giving any of it to the servants. What he does say is, I'm going to put it in a barn, I'm going to store it up, and I am going to enjoy it for years. This is a proud man. He's self-reliant. I don't need anybody. I don't need any help. I'm going to build a barn. I'm going to enjoy this for years. See, again, we can lose our soul simply by thinking, I've got this covered. I've got this made up. I've got everything handled. I'm all right, just like I am. I've got everything figured out. But then the real kicker for this young man is he didn't just have a poor purpose and a poor position. But the third thing I see about this man, he's got a poor plan. He's got a lousy plan. Because look what he says. He says, I've got this stuff laid up for many years. And God says, thou fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. She was only 48, they keep saying. Let me ask you this. Let's just be honest. How many of you have got a friend that lost their life before 48 years old? way earlier than they should have. Listen, this man says, I've got it all figured out. And for many years to come, I've got this all done. This man has a really poor plan. He makes the assumption that he's going to be around to enjoy everything. Do you understand? And most of us do. We understand it. It's clear in our minds. We know it. We know it's reality. We just tend to try to push it out of our face. We try to tend to push it to the side and forget about it. Every one of us know we're one breath, one missed heartbeat, one little germ away from death. One bad swerve, one blown out tire away from someone else enjoying all the things we worked to achieve. This young man says, I'm going to store it up. I'm going to enjoy it for all my life. I want to tell you something. You can lose your soul waiting for just the right time. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you know what, I'm going to get saved one day. I'm going to get right with God sometime, when the time is right. I want to tell you when the time is right. The time is right when you've got time. Because you may not have time. You're not in control of time. You can lose your soul taking time to sow your wild oats. I've heard people say that. Well, I'm going to sow my wild oats. You might fall off the tractor and get killed sowing them wild oats. Them wild oats might grow up and strangle you. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the opportunity to sow those wild oats. Most of us don't even think about it. We know it, but we just don't think about one breath, one heartbeat, just that quick. We could be out of this world. And building barns and gathering up stuff does not prepare you to stand before God. Listen. Seneca made this statement. He said, we're always complaining that our days are few and acting though there'll be no end of them. Think about it. You know, how many of us are sitting around saying, man, I remember when I was just 12. Man, it just seems like your days just flying by. But yet we live like our days are just beyond measure. I'd never heard the song before. Flipped on the TV yesterday evening and during that funeral. And this, they were singing a song, and I heard enough of them. I need to find the words. I want to see how that whole song goes. I want to read it because I couldn't understand everything they were saying. I said, I want to see the words of that song. I want to see it for myself. And I looked it up, and here's what the words of the song, I believe the name of it is Tomorrow. Here are the words. Jesus said, here I stand. Won't you please let me in? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I'm He who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow. I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. Who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today. For tomorrow very well may be too late. Jesus said, here I stand. Won't you please take my hand? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I'm He who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll give my life. I thought about it today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. Who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. And who said tomorrow would ever come for you? Still you laugh and play and continue on to say tomorrow. Forget about tomorrow. Won't you give your life today? Please don't just turn and walk away tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. Don't let this moment slip away. Your tomorrow could very well begin today. There are Christians who are sitting here this morning who are saying, you know what? I know my relationship with God is not what it ought to be, and I'll work on it tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Christians who need to come and kneel at this altar this morning and say, oh Lord, forgive me. I've wasted a whole lot of today's planning on tomorrow. I said I was going to start praying, or I was going to start witnessing. Lord, I keep telling you, tomorrow. And I've wasted a lot of today's. But today, I want to come and kneel and commit myself to you. And whatever days you give me, whatever hours you give me, I'm going to devote them, I'm going to commit them to you. Lord, if you'll give me these days, I'm going to commit myself to you. That you might be here this morning. You're a good person. You're just like this young man in this story. You've been a good businessman. You're a good son, daughter. You're a good person. And you just keep saying tomorrow. You don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Him into your heart. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You may have been in church. You may have been involved in church. May hold a position. You keep saying, you know what? Tomorrow, I'll accept Christ. Tomorrow, I'll accept Christ. Well, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. You don't have the promise of tonight. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation.